verse of scripture that we would like to leave with you this morning from John chapter 2 is verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, that is the servants, who were present at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. John's narrative of Christ's first miracle begins with the words, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. So it was upon the third day that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed His miracle-working power at that marriage feast in Cana. I say revealed because in the days preceding this event, there were day by day fresh revelations of Jesus Christ. Consider the first day. We're told in verse 29 of the previous chapter, chapter 1 of John, we read, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The next day was the first day of the Lord's earthly ministry. And we see in the first day of the Lord's earthly ministry, Christ is revealed as the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And before that day had closed, as far as John the Baptist was concerned, Christ was also revealed not only as the Lamb of God, but as the Son of God. Look there in verse 34 of John 1. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now the very next verse begins, again the next day. And so here is another day that has dawned, and another day in which the Lord Jesus reveals something more about Himself to those who were with Him there on that second day. How does He reveal Himself on this occasion? Well, we read in verse 39, to those two disciples of John who wanted to know where He abode, the Lord Jesus saith unto them, verse 39, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they spent time with Christ. And on that day, the Lord Jesus revealed Himself, verse 41, as the Messiah, as the Christ. And so on the first day, Christ revealed Himself as the Lamb of God and as the Son of God. On the second day, He revealed Himself as the Messiah, the Christ. It is interesting to note that whenever these two disciples of John first met the Savior, when they said, where dwellest thou? Notice how they addressed Him. They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master. And so when they first met Christ, they knew Him as Rabbi or as Master. But when they spent time with Christ because they did abide with Him, and after spending time with Christ, they learned more about Him. Now they do not refer to Him as Rabbi or Master. Now they call Him Messiah, the Christ. Dear child of God, there is a very important lesson here. The more time we spend with Jesus Christ, then the more we will get to know Him and the more we will get to know about Him. As was proven here by John's disciples. Then we come to verse 43. Another day is mentioned. For there we read, the day following. Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. And Philip, when he found Nathanael, he told Nathanael, he said, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And whenever Nathanael came to Christ, the Lord revealed himself to Nathanael in a different way. Remember the first day, He was revealed as the Lamb of God and the Son of God. The second day was revealed as the Messiah, the Christ. The third day, verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now Christ is revealed as the King of Israel. Day after day after day, the Lord Jesus reveals Himself to His people and reveals Himself to them in a very special way. And again, dear believer, we walk with the Lord, we live with Christ, and we live for Christ. Day after day after day, we will learn more and more and more about Him. Now the Lord Jesus, we are told in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. And it is His third day in Galilee. That's what is referred to in verse 1 of chapter 2. He's now in Galilee. It's the third day of His ministry in Galilee. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And here is another day in which the Lord is pleased to reveal Himself. He's pleased to reveal Himself now as a great miracle worker. He's pleased to reveal His glory upon the third day of His ministry in Galilee, because He wrought that miracle. And verse 13 says, or verse 11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory. Why, we don't know how the Lord is going to reveal Himself to us day by day. It's one of the great blessings of the Christian life. Why, we don't know what the Lord is going to do today. We don't know how He's going to reveal Himself to us tomorrow. He always has something new for us. What a blessing it is to be a Christian and to know the Lord and to serve the Lord. You never know what the Lord's going to do. Chapter 2 then deals with the Lord's first miracle. He wrought many miracles, many of them that are not recorded in the Gospels. Because if everything that Jesus did had been written down, had been recorded, John tells us the world wouldn't be big enough to contain all the books that would be written about him. But here's his first miracle. And isn't it interesting that the Lord chose to work his first miracle, the first miracle in his earthly ministry, he chose to perform that miracle at a marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. At a wedding, it would appear, of a very poor couple, because they didn't have enough wine for all of the guests at that wedding. We'll not enter into the debate whether it was alcoholic or non-alcoholic. I, for one, believe it was non-alcoholic wine. We know what alcohol does to people, how it ruins their lives, ruins their character, ruins their morality, destroys them. So why would Christ create something that would destroy a man's life? It was non-alcoholic wine that was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. But he chose to perform this miracle on such an occasion. Now, some may have thought the Lord's about to perform his first miracle. Surely he would do that before an invited audience. Would he not summon the scribes and the Pharisees? Would he not call in the kings and the princes of the land to behold his miracle-working power? Not at all. He performed his first miracle at a simple marriage feast. That highlights for us Christ. My, whenever you look at this first miracle, it sets a pattern for all his other miracles. Many of his miracles he wrought in a different way. But in every miracle that Christ wrought, you behold his humility. Many miracles Christ wrought, and then he told the person who had benefited from his miracle, "See thou say nothing to any man." How different it would be today if some individual was able to work a miracle as Christ did. My, he would have his name in lights. His name would be spread abroad. But here's Christ and his humility. Here is this man amongst men, the Son of God, yes, and he's also the Son of Man, a title the Lord Jesus always used of himself. When speaking about himself, he always called himself the Son of Man, because it was for men that he came to minister to, and men that he came save. He's the Son of Man. And here's the Lord Jesus at a simple wedding amongst poor people, and in the simplest, most natural way, he puts forth his miracle working power and turns water into wine. This he did that he might supply a great need. Not only does this miracle highlight his humility, his humanity, it also highlights his helpfulness. There was a great need. Verse 3 says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine." John never called mother of Christ by her first name. He always referred to her as the mother of Jesus. And here he refers to her as the mother of Jesus. And she said unto him, they have no wine. And Christ met the need of the hour. Met the need and helped those that were present at that marriage feast. And once more, this points forward to his other miracles. Because in all the miracles he wrought, with the exception of one, Christ only wrought one miracle of judgment. All the others were miracles of grace. The one miracle of judgment was when he struck down the barren fig tree. It was a miracle of judgment. All the others were miracles of grace and mercy. Didn't he help the blind to see by his miracle working power? Didn't he help the lame to walk by his miracle working power? Didn't he help the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear? Oh, the helpfulness of Christ. And how good it is to know him. But in times when we have great needs, how we rejoice that we have Christ. And Christ will help us through those needs. And Christ will meet those needs. And he will do it all to the glory of his name. Before he did that which manifested his glory there at Cana in Galilee, we're told that he ordered the servants to fill the water pots with water. And we're told they filled them to the brim. That was done before the miracle was wrought. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim, we are told. Surely our prayer has been, and still is, Lord, show us thy glory. Manifest thy glory before our eyes. Let us see thy glory. Here we might learn from this incident, place where the Lord revealed his glory, but before he revealed his glory in turning the water into wine, there were certain things that needed to be done. First of all, we notice here the order from Christ. The order came. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. That was the order. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus could easily have said, the water pots will be filled with wine. The servants wouldn't need to have done anything. The servants wouldn't need to have filled the pots with water. Christ could have done it himself. He only had to speak the word. Instead, he told the servants, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And so here we have the preparation for the miracle. Because the Lord would manifest his glory, he made it known that there was some preparatory work that needed to be done. They had to fill the water pots with water, and the servants had to do it. So it was with all of his miracles. There was something that needed to be done beforehand. The blind man, the Lord Jesus, took clay and anointed the blind man's eyes, and then he told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And then the miracle was performed. He came seeing. The man with the withered hand that was in the temple that day. The Lord Jesus again could easily have said, I will heal you now. But instead he said to the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth thy hand. And it was only when he stretched it forth that we read, behold, it was made whole as the other. And this is true regarding other manifestations of his glory. What did Joshua say to the children of Israel as they were encamped at the edge of Jordan? Joshua gave the order, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow would be a day of wonders, but today is a day of preparation. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You remember when the Lord sent fire from heaven on the top of Carmel, as Elijah stood there before the false prophets of Baal. And Elijah had put the false prophets to the test and told them, you believe in your God. My God is Jehovah. Let the God who answers by fire be the God of Israel. But before the fire fell, there was some preparation work to be done. Elijah had to repair the altar. He had to make ready the altar and make ready the sacrifice. Then, when he prayed, the fire of God fell. Dear child of God, if we want to know the blessing of the Lord, and if we want to see the glory of God manifested before our eyes, then there are things that we must attend to. We have the week of meetings coming up with Brother Foster. I'm sure you, like I have, been looking forward to these meetings and to a week of preaching. I'm sure we are desiring the blessing of God upon us as a church and as individuals. Then let us pray, Lord, prepare us for this week. Lord, prepare my heart for this week of meetings. Lord, prepare my hearing that I might hear the Word and give attention to the Word this week. Lord, prepare my hands. May they be used, Lord, to further the cause of Christ even during this week. As far as meetings are concerned, it has always been my experience in any gospel missions that I have been involved in that the more preparation that has been done for a week of meetings or for 3 weeks of meetings, the more blessing has come through the preaching of the Word. The more preparation, the more blessing. The more we put in to it, the more we get out. As indeed was seen here in the filling of the vessels. So let us put all that we can into this week of meetings and seek the blessing of God and prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word. Next we have the pots and the miracle. At the location of the wedding feast, we are told, there were set there 6 water pots of stone. It was these water pots that the Lord used to perform His miracle. Used 6 water pots. And in describing the water pots, John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has given us 5 details with regard to the water pots. First of all, we are told that there were water pots set there. They were in the house. They weren't carried in. They were already there. They were set there in the house. Secondly, we're told there were six water pots. Thirdly, we're told these water pots were made of stone. And then we were given their size, containing two or three firkins apiece. And then we're given their service, what were they used for? After the manner of the purifying of the Jews. A number of lessons may be learned from the details that have been given regarding these six water pots according to Jewish law. Each home was to have these vessels for a very specific purpose. For the purifying of the Jews. What does that mean? That means that according to the ceremonial law, before each meal, the Jew in a Jewish home, those participating in the meal were to go to those stone water pots that were filled with water, and they were to wash their hands before they sat down to their meal. The Jews, of course, added more laws, more traditions. And they weren't satisfied then with just merely washing their hands. They washed their arms up to their elbows. But it was originally according to the ceremonial law that each Jewish home was to have these water pots. We read about it in Mark 7, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. So it was a great ceremony. But originally it was the ceremonial law that determined that they were to have the water pots there. So what do we have now in the water pots in Christ? We have the six water pots, the symbol of the law. The ceremonial law. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and He comes. And when there was a need or there was a want, the Lord Jesus met that need according to His grace. The water pots not only speak to us of the ceremonial law, they also speak to us five things, remember? They speak to us of the grace of Christ and the grace of the Lord. That reminds us then of what we have in John 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. There's something else here. We're told that the water pots were sitting there. But that doesn't really give us a true picture. Because what we read of the water pots, there were set there six water pots. The word set means lying. There were six water pots lying there. And this would teach us that these water pots were empty and were not being used. They were merely lying there. And the Lord Jesus was pleased to take the six water pots that were merely lying there, not being used, and He used them for His glory. My believer, how often have we felt just like an empty water pot, just lying there, not been used for anything? Empty. Do you not felt that betimes? Here we are going through our Christian experience and living the Christian life. We say, what have we done and accomplished? And we feel like an empty vessel, just lying there, not being used. Well, then, believer, in the work of preparation for the Lord, manifesting His glory, let's pray, Lord, use me. I may be an empty vessel, but Lord, take me up and use me. If Thy, Lord, has used 6 coal, stone, water pots in order to manifest Thy glory, then Lord, surely I can be used. Next, we notice their place in the miracle. Notice the wording, there were set there 6 water pots of stone. The water pots were there, as we've already mentioned. They were not brought in for the purpose. They were there at the time the Lord Jesus entered this home for the wedding feast. And when the Lord was about to manifest His glory in that place, He used what was there. So it was on the hillside outside Capernaum when He manifested His glory and fed 5,000 two small fishes. That's what was there. Because Andrew came to the Lord Jesus and said to Him, there is a lad here. They didn't have to go and look for him. He was right there. There is a lad here. 5 barley loaves. And what was there, that's what Christ used to manifest His glory in His miracle-working power. And dearly beloved, this morning, if the Lord were to put forth His power here in this place where you and I are, would He use us that are here? Let us pray indeed that He would do that very thing. We are here. We're in this place. Let us pray that as God manifests His glory, that He will use us here. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I'm here at Thy disposal. We must be in the place where the Lord can use us. And may we be in that. May we prepare for His blessing, be in the place where the Lord can use us. So we have the order that was given by Christ, and then we have the obedience to Christ. Let us remind ourselves that it was the Lord's intention to favor this assembly there with a demonstration of His power by turning water into wine. Therefore, if they were to experience His miracle-working power, they must obey His word. If they were to see manifestations of His glory, they must obey His word. The Lord has given an order. Fill the water pots. If they were to see His glory, they must obey. If we are to know blessing upon us, a blessing will come to us through obedience to the Lord. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11. And there we read in verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing. If ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. The Lord said, I will bless you if you obey me. And let's remind ourselves, dear child of God, that it was through the obedience of Christ that we were blessed with salvation. Christ shows us and gives us the perfect example. Because the Lord Jesus Christ humbled Himself and was obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And through His death, we today have salvation. And through Christ's obedience, we have the blessing of salvation. Obedience brings blessing. And for the servants, their obedience brought blessing. For at the wedding feast in Cana, the Lord called for obedience to His word. Notice how they faithfully obeyed. I am sure the servants didn't know exactly what the intentions of the Lord were. What was He intending doing? 6 water pots lying there. The Lord said, I want you first of all to fill them with water. What was He going to do? Perhaps they didn't know what to expect. This reminds me of Simon Peter. Some of the disciples of the Lord, they had been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. And we read in verse 4 of Luke 5, Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word I will let down the net. Now Simon Peter didn't fully obey the Lord. The Lord said, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Let your nets down. Let down all of your nets. But we read that Simon Peter said, Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. See, whenever the Lord gives us a command, we're never sure of exactly what the Lord's going to do in obedience to that command. The dear child of God, as we've already said, with the Lord Jesus and living for Him, you just don't know what He's going to do and what blessings He's going to bestow upon us. That ought to encourage us that whatever order He gives, that we obey Him. Will do what the Lord commands us to do. And as I look at these servants, I read the words, Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And I read, and they filled them. Verse 8, He saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Everything the Lord ordered them to do, they did it, and they did it faithfully. Exactly as the Lord had commanded them. They obeyed the Lord. And they were blessed, and everyone at the marriage feast was blessed. When the Lord turned the water into wine. I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know about the water being turned into wine. He didn't know a thing about it. He just knew that it was the best wine. And then in parenthesis, we have these words, "But the servants withdrew the water." In other words, there was a greater blessing for them than there was for the others at the marriage feast. They knew something that the others didn't know. They saw something the others didn't see. They knew more about that wine and how it had been the creation of Christ. They knew more about it than the others. Everyone at the feast enjoyed the blessing, shared the blessing, benefited from the obedience of the servants, but the servants who obeyed were the ones who were given the special blessing. And believer, we give ourselves to prayer, the seeking of God. Others will benefit from our prayers. But we will be given the special blessing. God will bless those who obey Him and give themselves to prayer. If we are faithful in prayer, others will benefit from our prayers. If we're faithful in our preaching, others will benefit from our preaching. Lord will bless us in a special way for our faithfulness. That's an encouragement, surely, to faithfully follow the Lord. Notice they fervently obeyed. You will notice that when the Lord ordered the water pots to be filled, that the servants, we are told, filled them. Yes, they filled them. The Spirit of God gives us another detail. They filled them to the brim. Now there are 6 large water pots to be filled. Those 6 water pots held, it is estimated, 150 gallons of water. Where did they get the water from? How far had they to go and carry it back to the house and start filling the water pots? Must have taken some time. It was quite a monotonous job. But my, when we find that they obeyed the Lord, and they obeyed the Lord faithfully and fully, it would have been easy for them to say, well, we'll only half fill them. Let's get this job over with. We'll just half fill them. Or we'll fill them part of the way. No, they went all the way and they filled the water pots to the brim. They excelled. So when we are called upon to obey the word of the Lord, let us endeavor to do it to the full. Let's fill the water pots to the brim. Tempting, of course, always to obey the Lord's command in a half-hearted way. Say, well, I did do it. I did obey the word, but really our hearts were honest, wasn't it? We were not filling the water pots to the brim. We're not really serving the Lord with all of our hearts. You can see these servants. Surely they had their heart in it. They did it. Was unto the Lord, and they obeyed the Lord's command, and they filled the water pots. If we're called upon to seek the face of God in prayer, let's seek Him with all of our hearts. If we're called upon to preach, let us preach as one never to preach again. If we are called upon to witness, let us witness as a dying man to dying men and women. If we are called upon to be missionaries, let us go after the lost with lives sold out to Christ. Let's fill the water pots to the brim. Let's go the second mile. They not only excelled, but I believe in their filling of the water pots, they did so expectantly. I cannot help but think that these servants filled the water pots to the brim because they knew the Lord was going to do something special. If He was going to turn the water into wine, then they wanted those vessels filled to the brim, ready to overflow. Another good reason for us as people to obey the Lord. The Lord will always bless the believer who will go the second mile. And my, they filled the water pots to the brim, and the Lord Jesus turned the water into wine, and six water pots were filled to the brim with wine. They wouldn't have been filled to the brim with wine if the servants had only half filled. We do the Lord's work, filling the water pots to the brim. The Lord will fill us to the brim. Notice also they fully obeyed. I do not read anything that the servants said. They went back and forth to the well, brought it into the house, filled the water pots. 150 gallons. Not a murmur from the servants. Not a word of complaint. They did exactly what Mary had advised all to do. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And they did it without a murmur. Without a word of complaint. And that's the type of obedience. Finally and quickly, you have the omnipotence of Christ. You see His omnipotence? He turned water into wine. This highlights for us His greatness. Now, if the Lord turned a cup of water into wine, that would still exhibit His greatness and His omnipotence. But He turned 150 gallons of water. Surely that emphasizes even more the greatness of Christ. What was it to Him to turn 150 gallons of water into wine when the same one filled the oceans with water to start with? It's nothing to Him. And believer, this is the God we adore. Infinite, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as His power. Knows neither measure nor end. His greatness. It's good to know Him. It's good to know such a great Savior. Not only do you have His greatness, but you have His goodness. Surely in turning so much water into wine, we behold the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is not one who will give by meager measure. He doesn't mete out scant measure to His people. In fact, He has said in His word in Micah 6 and verse 10, the scant measure, that is abominable. The Lord abhors scant measure. And so when He deals with His people, He doesn't deal with them with scant measure. Why? He gives us good measure. Isn't that what he said in Luke 6, verse 30? If given, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Pressed down. The picture there is of the farmer filling this bag with meal or grain. And he shakes it to get more into that bag. Pressed down. The word means to press down with your foot. So the farmer was pressing the meal down into the bag with his foot so that he can get more in. That's how the Lord blesses us. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. No wonder the psalmist said, my cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and grace. We made reference to the grace of Christ in that verse in John 1:17. By the law, or by Moses came the law. By Jesus Christ came grace and truth. What was the first miracle that Moses wrought? Under God. It had to do with water. Turning water into blood. First miracle Christ wrought had to do with water, turning water into wine. One was judgment and the other was grace. Christ How often we have experienced His grace. We've experienced it in His saving grace. Not only do we have the grace and the goodness of the Lord and the greatness of Christ, you have the glory of Christ. Because we are told in that verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory. The word miracle is the word sign. This beginning of signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory. Every miracle Christ wrought was a sign of His deity. It was a sign that He was the Messiah. And believer, whatever we do, may we do it to this end. God's glory, Christ's glory might be manifested. Do all to the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our loving and gracious God, we bless Thee indeed for Thy goodness and Thy grace and Thy greatness. And how often, Lord, we have seen evidence of Thy greatness. We have experienced Thy goodness and Thy grace. And, O Lord, we pray for others who know nothing of the saving grace of God. We pray, our gracious Father, that Thou would save them today. And, dear Lord, each one of us, may we learn more about our Savior day after day after day. Lord, reveal Thyself to us. And show us more of Thee. Things, Lord, that as yet we know not. And gracious, loving Father, help us to fill the water pots to the brim. And whatever we do for Thee, write Thy word upon our hearts and bless us, Lord, as we leave the house of God. Go before us and in Thy providence and will, return us to Thy house tonight to learn more about our Savior. In His wonderful name we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.